the deeper Underdark. And Trary looked at him. And for a moment, Driss thought the man might simply lash out. "We have wounded," Driss reminded. And Trary's shoulders slumped, and he gave a long and profound sigh, then turned back. But as he did, he caught some movement out of a corner of his eye. There was, after all, one more slave down here. She wasn't working, though, when the pair came upon her, but sitting sullenly on a stone, facing the wall, head in her hands. And Trary went for her shackle, and just as she turned, Drizzt put a hand on her shoulder. How the dwarf's eyes widened with surprise and joy. She grabbed at Drizzt as if to hug him and blurted his name, or tried to, but found her mouth filled with that sickly green spew and wound up coughing and spitting the cursed mucus all over the floor. "Are there any more slaves?" Drizzt asked, pointing farther along the descending corridor. "Dahlia!" and Trary asked, an edge of desperation growing in his tone. Amber gave an emphatic shake of her head and pointed to her work area, then down the hallway and shook her head again. So they rushed back, gathered up the three humans they had rescued, and headed back to rejoin their friends. Artemis and Trary glanced back over his shoulder with almost every step. Dahlia hesitated. Her twitch showed discomfort. Something was wrong. Something out of proportion and beyond reality. Catty Bree. The name screamed in her thoughts repeatedly. This was the ghost who had haunted Drizzt's dreams. This was the woman who had ruined Dahlia's life with Drizzt, who had tainted Dahlia's love with Drizzt before it could even truly bloom. Were it not for her? Dahlia found herself very near the altar stone then, facing the pit and Catty Bree, who stood across the block from her. Dahlia moved to the right. Catty Bree similarly shifted sidelong to keep the stone between them. "Dahlia?" the woman asked. And to hear this woman, Catty Bree, speaking her name, stunned Dahlia, as surely as a slap across the face. "You are Dahlia, yes?" Catty Bree asked. "I have heard of you from Drizzt." The words hardly registered to the elf woman. All she heard was a grating sound, a screeching sound, an annoying cackle at the back of her mind. The only word that came clear to her was, again, "Catty Bree." Only when the woman reacted did Dahlia even realize that she had spoken the name aloud. Dahlia's thoughts swirled back to the side of Kelvin's cairn in faraway Icewind Dale, where Drizzt had spurned her, had betrayed her, had chosen this ghost above her. No strike had ever wounded Dahlia as profoundly as the one she had delivered upon Drizzt, and with the hope of killing him. She had tried to kill him. He was the source of all of her pain, of all of her misery. It was because of him that Dahlia had gone to port last, had been captured by the drow, had been tortured. She felt the tentacles of the awful illithid wriggling inside of her. "But wait," she thought. And she shook her head, for that mind flare had told her the truth at least. Where no one else ever had, the mind flare had made so much clearer to Dahlia. "No, not Drizzt," she whispered. And Catty Bree wore a puzzled expression. "From Drizzt," the woman reiterated. But Dahlia didn't hear.
"Because of you," Dahlia said pointedly. "Because of you, ghost."
She watched Catty Bree shaking her head, then bending low to retrieve her dropped bow. The bow. Oh, but Dahlia knew that bow. She thought of fighting beside Drizzt, of their brilliant teamwork when she intercepted his lightning arrows and redirected the magical energy to more pointed ends. She knew that bow, Drizzt's bow, and now this woman, this ghost, held it, as if mocking her, as if mocking the love Dahlia had known with Drizzt. A low and feral growl escaped her lips.
"Dahlia?"
Catty Bree said, her voice calm and intentionally disarming.
"Be at ease, Dahlia. I am not your enemy.
The altar thrummed to life before her, calling Dahlia to action, telling her to rise and vanquish this ghost, this woman who had caused her so much pain, this disciple of evil Mieliki. Dahlia barely registered the stream of thoughts, but she surely understood the call and promise of the altar stone before her. She sent her flail into a spin, banging them together, building a charge, then pounded them repeatedly on the altar, and the throbbing black energy pulsed within and lent her weapon more magical power. Dahlia! Catibri called to her, and Dahlia noted that the woman had backed from the altar, then had moved toward the tunnel to the forge. But she would not escape, Dahlia knew, not from here.
Destroy her!
Dahlia heard herself shout to the jade spider beside that tunnel, and surely the elf warrior would have been surprised had she stepped back from her rising emotions enough to decipher her own words. For how could she know the spider as an ally? Wulfgar brought Aegis Fang up over his shoulder and swung it across with all his strength. With a resounding thud and a reverberation that ran back up the barbarian's arms, rippling his muscles under the tremendous vibrations, it struck the door dead center, right in the heart of the Drider-like image of Lolth the drow craftsman had constructed of black adamantine, and bounced off. And neither the door nor the bas-relief of Lolth showed as much as a scratch.
"Oh, me girl!"
Brunner yelled, pushing in past Wulfgar, who staggered aside under the weight of his own blow. Regis, too, rushed for the door.
"Pick it, Rumblebelly!"
Brunner implored him. Regis glanced all around the portal and the new archway, and ran his fingers over the smooth, cool metal.
"Pick what?"
he asked, completely at a loss and holding his hands out helplessly, for there was no sign of a lock or even a handle to be found.
"Bah!"
Brunner snorted, and he hopped to the side and pulled Aegis Fang from Wulfgar, then leaped back for the door, Regis tumbling aside. Brunner noted the inscription on the Warhammer's head, the symbols of his three gods overlaid, and from that reminder he drew strength. Great strength, the might of Clangadin, and he slammed the Warhammer into the door with tremendous power, rattling the stones of the forge.
"Me girl!" he cried,
and he hit the door again, as mighty a stroke as Wulfgar had delivered at least.
"Me girl!"
He felt the power of Clangadin coursing his veins, growing within him. Tirelessly he pounded the portal. But it showed not a scratch.